Oh, that you would reveal your joy. You know, last Sunday, we talked about peace. And those of you that have taught kids in Sunday school and throughout churches, thank you very much. Because it does stick with kids as they get older. You know, last week I had that song stuck in my head, I've got peace like a river. And so I was worried as I made the transition pretty much every Sunday, after one message is over, my mind automatically goes to the next week. And so I'm scared thinking the whole time that that same song's going to be stuck in my head for another week. But fortunately, it wasn't. This week, I got joy, joy, joy down deep in my heart. Where? Deep in my... So you guys that teach Sunday school, you do really make a difference, But I also think that God has a sense of humor. I'm just wondering now what song he's going to throw in my head this week as I prepare next week's message. But anyhow, it was one of those weeks preparing that my mind was scatterbrained. I couldn't focus. And as you're preparing a message on joy, it really helps to have a joyful week. And I didn't have that. And I kept thinking, there was a lot going on in my life. But then I got to thinking, too, in this world, with all the despair and destruction and bad things that go on, that at least I do have joy. I have Christ to carry me through. But as I last Sunday night in the evening, I got a message from a friend of mine I haven't seen in about a year. I used to work with him, and we were, you know, he's a real good kid. I don't think he's ever even been in a church, but it was good to work with him. But I got word from him last week that he was starting to have trouble seeing, and his eyes for no reason were going blurry, and he's in his mid-20s. Well, Thursday, as I'm sitting down trying to finish things up for the message today, I got wind that his diagnosis came back, that they discovered that he has early stages of MS. And those of you that are in the medical field or have any history of that know what that disease is like. It's a very slow, usually a very slow-moving disease. But his body will get to the point where he will have very, very, very little control over it. And he knows that. And I'm just sitting here trying to think of something to be joyful about, something to share this morning that's joyful. And I got that in the back of my mind. And this kid is, you could just, talking back and forth with him, you could just hear he's just trying to grasp on every little thing, everything, to find a reason to smile. And I'm hoping that I get to talk with him more. Actually, I know I'm going to. I'm going to make it a point. You know, he spent Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in a hospital in Morgantown, West Virginia, just trying to get his eyes working right, much less anything else that he has to face. But we're going to make it a point to go speak with him. And I think this whole message, the reason this all, God has placed this in my heart today is even when we struggle to look for joy, we have it if we have Christ. And I want to catch this point very early, and I hope it's the point I make at the end. But when we have Christ and we have that joy and we see people in our lives that don't have it, it is not only our responsibility as Christians, but it's our duty to share that joy with them. To give people that don't have any joy just something to grasp onto, something to hold on to, and to hope. And as we're really, you know, like I said, this week it was really tough for me. It was at a point where I didn't know. Actually, one point I just closed my Bible and I walked away for a while because I didn't really know what to do. But those of us that have Christ, God will remind us of things he's done for us in the past. When we're having them moments of despair, when we're having them moments where we're not real sure what to make of anything. And for mine, God this week, right then, threw a reminder up to me of that he's been in my life, my entire life. Even when I wasn't really looking to follow him, he was there, he was leading, he was working. And the one, I hope I don't get too emotional here, but one thing I remember about my wedding, because there was a lot of stuff that just didn't go right during our wedding. And those are the things that we really remember. But the one thing I remember about our wedding was when my wife walked down the aisle and the song that was playing. And that song, when I was preparing this message, anytime I do, I like to listen to, on Pandora, instrumental praise music, which is all Christian, but it's no words, and because words take my focus off what I'm doing, but the music helps me. And the song came on that was played when she walked down the aisle was Canon in D. And I broke down because God at that point reminded me that even when we're not sure of everything, I had no idea what the future held, but He's in control. He's got this. And so as I'm thinking of that, and I'm reminded of all the joy He's placed in my life, He reminds me that yes, my friend has a lot of struggles ahead of him and not an easy road ahead. But there is one thing he still has. He still has time. He still has time to hear the gospel. He still has time for friends like me, for friends like us. Our friends still have time to hear us share the gospel with them, to give them that little bit of joy that Christ has placed in us that we can't keep to ourselves. And God, like I said, will remind us, give us when we're just in despair, God will give us these little tidbits of joy that we can hang on to, little things that remind us. I kind of also thought of while I was thinking of this for today, when Joel Miller was here and he spoke of the breadcrumbs. Sometimes all we get are little crumbs to remind us that Christ is our guide and that we have Him to guide us through. And we need to abide in His joy, but it's not always easy. But it's not something new either. I'm going to sort of shift gears a little bit and take a little bit different direction. I'm going to read John 1, 6 through 9, and then 19 through 28. So if you want, turn with me in your Bible as as I read this. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. I got to stop there for a minute. Because verse 19, this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. The Pharisees were concerned with John the Baptist. And it doesn't say a lot there other than they sent people to figure out what was going on. And that in my mind triggered a little thinking here that, well, why would they send people to figure out who he was? Only because they did it because there was something going on there. There was something unusual happening. There was a little stirring going on in their world. And the Pharisees are people that they were the religious leaders of the time. And anything religious that's going on, they needed to be involved in. They needed to be in charge of it, basically. They were in charge. And now there's something over here going on, and we're supposed to be in charge, but we don't know what's going on. We got to go find out. I kind of picture it as somebody, if you pick up a rock, and all of us men have done this when we were little, picked up a rock and threw it at a hornet's nest. Hopefully you were far enough away when it hit it that the bees couldn't find you, but then when you hit that nest with a rock, all the bees go crazy. There's all kinds of buzzing, and I'm wondering if you're in there and you're the queen bee, and all of a sudden, all your people are getting all kind of crazy and flying around, and you don't know what's going on. You're a little confused, and you got to go find out what's going on. That's what the Pharisees are doing. They don't know what's going on, but they want to find out. And then they get out in the wilderness, and there's this crazy wild man out there, this crazy guy that dresses in camel hair and eats honey and locusts, and I can picture him just in these big old matted hair mess because he doesn't shower or bathe. He's not the typical person you would expect people to be sharing the gospel. In our society, I would kind of call it similar to learning the gospel, hearing the gospel from a homeless man versus some famous TV evangelism, maybe even Billy Graham. You know, I don't want to discredit Billy Graham. That's not what I'm doing, but you get my picture there. God was sharing the gospel in a way that they weren't used to, that something different is going on here, and we got to figure this all out. What's going on here? So the Pharisees are getting a little upset. They want to know. So they go ask him, verse 20. They asked him who he was. In verse 20, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet. And I like that he used scripture to answer their question, because the Pharisees, they knew scripture very well. And they knew, as soon as he said, gave this answer, they knew that there was something special going on here. They didn't know what to do with it, but he answered, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." And this all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. "Among you stands one whom you do not know." And I don't know, I kind of believe that Jesus wasn't literally standing there with him. But he could have been. We don't really know that. But what we do know is Jesus was on the earth at this point. Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, was there, and they did not see him. They refused to see them. They couldn't see him. So it makes me wonder, do we? Do we always see Jesus? Because Jesus is with us through the Holy Spirit in this earth today, this very moment. Do we see him? For me this week, at times, it was a struggle. I'll be honest. It was a struggle at times to see. In all the craziness of the seasons, in shopping that we all go through, and in cleaning our houses, in cooking dinner, and getting ready for family to come over, or getting the oil changed in the car because you got to drive 5 hours to see family. Do you see Jesus? Why do we do all that stuff? And we can get so caught up in this craziness that at times we do forget. We do forget the reason for this whole season. And that was a little bit of my grouchiness this week too, was how commercialized Christmas can get and how we have to get this perfect present for this person. But then I stopped and thought about it for a minute, and God made me smile with this. It's just looking at it from a little bit of a different perspective. Christmas is by far the largest holiday in America. I don't think there's any argument there. There's thousands and millions of people in this country that the only Christ they see is on Christmas. The only thing they see in Christ, of Christ, may be getting a present from someone they don't know or even a family member, but it's Christmas. And sooner or later, they're probably going to ask what Christmas is all about. So even in the commercialized business of this Christmas, God still spreads his message to people that might never hear it just by the name of Christmas, Christ in Christmas. So that helped cheer me up a little bit. I got a little sidetracked there, I'm sorry. But if we're not seeing Jesus at times, I got to think, and I was reminded this week that seeing Jesus is a choice. It's a choice we get to make. It's a choice. When my friend this week, when I got news of what was going on in his life, I chose wrong for a few minutes, for a little while. I chose to kind of get down and feel sorry for him, and I didn't know what to do. But as I process things more, as I realize that there's a whole lot more of his life left to find Christ, and really that is what this life is all about, is finding Christ and following him and worshiping him. It's not about how long we live or how many toys we get. It's all about finding Jesus. And so as I realize that my choice, my attitude started to change, and I probably need to apologize to my family because I was quite grouchy this week. But my attitude changed to understanding that the joy we have as Christians can be summed up in one simple word. And that word we talk about a lot during Christmas, and that's Emmanuel. Do we know what that word means? I'm sure a lot of you do. Emmanuel means God with us. And if God is with you, you can't help but abide. Abide in his joy, in his amazing, this unexplainable, spectacular joy that comes with Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 gives us some instructions here on choosing to be joyful. It says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. God brought this passage to my attention this week too. And it reminded me that that being joyful is a choice. And it's a choice that we get to make, and we can make it every day of every minute. Whether I'm going to be a grouch or I'm going to be joyful. And it does give us parameters when we can be joyful and pray. And the parameters are in all circumstances. In anything we face throughout our day, that is when we are to be joyful. Now, if we're all being honest, we can say that that's very hard to do. That it's very hard to be joyful sometimes when things aren't going as you planned them to go. I remember farming that I'd get up in the morning and I'd have my list of things that I wanted to accomplish that day. And usually there was way too many things on that list that I never accomplished them. But those days that were few and far between, that where you got everything done and it just went perfect, it was great. But those days when it didn't, it was hard to be joyful. It's hard to be happy and to find that joy. But then I'm reminded that joy in our life, that if we place joy in our life on things of this earth, that it's not going to last. But if we remember Emmanuel, God with us, then we will have that joy, that true joy. You know, the definition of joy is a feeling of great pleasure, excuse me, and happiness. Great pleasure and happiness. And so as I studied a little more, and I read some things, I got to thinking that joy comes through Christ, and we can't deny that. But then I got a little more reading, joy is a product of being grateful. Of being grateful for the things that God has given us. And if you're truly grateful for what God has given you, for every little thing in your life, you can't help but be joyful. And you can't help but do what comes next when you are joyful, and that's rejoice. Rejoice in Christ. Brennan Manning, in an article written for Christianity Today, says it this way. When somebody is aware of the love that the Father has for Jesus, that person is spontaneously grateful. Cries of thankfulness become the dominant characteristic of the interior life. And the byproduct of gratitude is joy. We are not joyful. This is the best part. We are not joyful and then become grateful. We are grateful, and that makes us joyful. Being grateful for what God has given us in any circumstances will lead to joy. And that joy That joy is what we have found as Christians, is what we have found in Christ. And our number one duty this Christmas season is to share that joy if we've found it. If we've not found that joy yet, it's to continue to pray for it and search for it. But as we find it, our duty is to share it with our friends and loved ones and people we don't know that need that joy, that need the joy to carry them through these holiday seasons or just life in general. True joy can only be found in Christ. Now we're going to close here. Lord, as we go this week, I pray that you will send someone in each and every one of our paths that we can share your joy, even if it is just a little bit, to share your joy with them. In Jesus' name, amen.